piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this morning in the doctrine of separation. The local church is a classroom of Christianity and is a formal setting of the church assembly in regards to the study of God's Word. It is in this environment, this academic setting, that is designed for believers to grow up spiritually, to ascertain and perceive what God's instructions and plans are for them in their lives. The two ingredients obviously necessary for this study is the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, coupled with the truth of Bible doctrine, the content of the Scriptures, the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament combined. Apart from being in fellowship, we cannot understand clearly, purely, the truth of God's plan for our life, explore and understand its depths under our sin nature, the rulership of our sin nature. We will end up distorting God's Word and therefore have a misperception in regards to the expectations by God. Jesus Christ went to the cross, in part giving us freedom of rulership of the sin nature in regards to our lives, not only positionally for all eternity, but experientially. So indeed, in time, in spite of having a living in sinful flesh, we can have fellowship with God, be under ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and serve Him and comply in regards to His marching orders for us in our assembly and otherwise in regards to our Christian life in this manner. So with that in mind, as usual, I'll give you your opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for your perfect plan that you have provided for those who are positive, ultimate protection in regards to living in Satan's world otherwise, those that aspire and seek and pursue a relationship with you in time can so do these things and be successful in regards to their endeavors, that through your grace we have all these benefits that are found for us in regards to living our Christian life, and that in spite of the suffering and persecution one may face in regards to living in time, we have the comfort, encouragement, edification provided for us at all times via God the Holy Spirit, including the enlightenment of the truth of your word in this respect, as we ask once again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Separation. If you haven't heard this word, this local church, then you've been gone since I've been here. Separation is the principle that governs the angelic conflict. Bible doctrine itself is divisive in nature. Indeed, it is sharper than any Macarius, any two-edged sword. Bible doctrine divides into the two camps of humanity, negative and positive volition. Those who choose to align with God's Word obviously go on positive volition. Those who continue to reject it are under negative volition to whatever degree it may be, whether we're looking at phase one, salvation, or phase two. So separation obviously is found, as you would expect, throughout the entirety of the Bible. The Bible is saturated with this principle. Even though not always specifically said as separation, the principle is obviously embedded in so much of the Scripture. It is a doctrine that obviously one must have a fairly balanced and thorough understanding of it, or else they fall into the potential of abusing it one way or the other. Separation doesn't mean a complete separation. Obviously, on one end of the coin, Paul says we'd otherwise have to die and leave this world. But on the other end of the coin, is not like the funding mentality, what they propose, and the cosmos in general. And that is, you turn around and you embrace every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there under the title of love in this regard. So there is a balance in regards to separation. The discerning believer figures these things out and knows to separate from those reversionists, as it may be, in the degree of separation, anywhere from a simple aloofness of keeping one's distance, arm's length, if you will, to a complete and total separation, as may be demanded in the situation. So the doctrine of separation is one that one must understand and recognize, and they should do so early on in their Christian life. The communicator doctrine, the shepherd, obviously, that's doing their job, will bring up the principle, if not address it specifically, throughout their ministry for this occasion. Failure to separate will have a negative effect in regards to individual believer's life. The principle is good does not bring up bad. It is complete reversal. Bad company corrupts good morals. And otherwise, people that dismiss this doctrine are deceived, as Paul so states, and they also rob themselves of the potential of maximum blessing in their life, as separation, obviously, as we saw, was dependent, a doctrine that was necessary for Abraham to enjoy the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant in a conditional way, as we saw in Genesis 12. In the Old Testament, separation otherwise is noted in regards to Israel as a priest nation, that they were to operate in the witness of God's plan as a priest nation by remaining aloof from their Gentile pagan counterparts in this respect. Leviticus 27, God commands them, "You shall consecrate," or sanctify, "set apart yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." So Roman numeral 2, point A, we know that as the scripture proclaims, when they separated from pagan culture, religion, and practices, they were blessed. But when they did not separate, they brought cursing upon themselves. We read most of the chapter of Deuteronomy. We'll visit a couple of verses later here in these points again in this respect. Throughout the chapter, which has 68 verses, only 14 of them are dedicated to blessing. I guess one might say people are not given ample warning by God in violation in regards to His word and application, as the remainder of the chapter centers on the cursing aspects. The only reason why people fall prey to it is based on their own negative volition and rejection of the doctrine. So B, where we pick up the doctrine, was taught in the ceremonial code of the Mosaic Law that physical association with designated items rendered one ceremonially unclean and shadowed spiritual defilement. There is the judicial code of Mosaic Law, dietary code, ceremonial code, etc. One must understand their proper place in governing the nation. Ceremonially, there were certain things, whether they be people, items, other things, that were designed to teach the doctrine of separation by coming in contact with it. It portrayed one getting, if you will, dirt on them, i.e. out of fellowship, and hence they had to go through certain ceremonial ritual portraying rebound, etc. In that respect, Leviticus 15:31, "Thus you shall keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness. Unless they die in their uncleanness," that would be sin unto death, "by their defiling my tabernacle that is among them." The language there It's pretty cool because you're dealing with defilement of the tabernacle. We, living in the church age, our bodies are our tabernacle, our temple. We defile it by getting under our sin nature, coming, if you will, in contact with those things otherwise unclean in regards to our lives. And obviously how one separates from their uncleanness, we all will come in contact. There are certain aspects of the law that were unavoidable. The law says you're not to touch a dead corpse. Well, how are you going to bury him? And throw a match on him and walk away? No, there are certain things in life that one of necessity had to come in contact. And that points to the fact that living with a sin nature, inevitably, we all stumble in many ways. See, we all engage in sin. How we separate ourselves in regards to being unclean in that respect is through the rebound technique. The confession of our sins, acknowledgement of those sins to God, and then we are rendered clean again. We are in a state of spirituality rather than a state of carnality otherwise. So the Mosaic Law taught the doctrine of separation in and of itself in principle. So see, under the spiritual code, which is ritual, they had the law of the clean versus the unclean that further taught the need to separate. Leviticus 20, 24 through 26. Now, we're not under the law in the church age, even though Christians stupidly operate like they are. They think they're still in the age of Israel somehow. Hence, you see tithing, people churches trying to enforce certain dietary codes, things of this nature. They're just people that are ignorant in regards to the Scriptures. But we are not under the law. But when you were, they had the ritual code of clean versus unclean, Leviticus 20, 24 through 26. Hence I said to you, you are to possess their land as the promise of the real estate under the Abrahamic covenant comes to fruition in regards to Israel. And upon their possession of it, they then have a responsibility in their representation as a people and as a nation. And I myself will give it to you to possess it. Continue in verse 24, a land flowing with milk and honey, fertile, rich in agriculture, and otherwise, God blessing the land. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. Obviously, when God targeted Abraham to become the first Hebrew, he became separate from all the other races. Identification of peoples in this way, and his offspring carried that separate identification. So a separation occurred. Verse 25, you are therefore to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the unclean bird and the clean. A principle, obviously, that was part of the recognition and application of the saints before the Mosaic Law, but now incorporated as law, as we saw in regards to Noah. In that respect, and they were maintained this distinction, and you shall not make yourselves detestable by animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground which I have separated for you is unclean. The way human viewpoint and the religious type of person takes these verses and takes commands like this is that it is the literal touching that defiles the individual. No, it's all a teaching aid, an elaborate teaching aid, if you will. And it is the spiritual consequence of disobedience to God's command not to do, to touch an unclean animal otherwise in that regards. That's what makes them detestable. Thus you are to be holy to me, verse 26, for I, the Lord, am holy. God is set apart. Obviously, in an absolute way, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. D, capital punishment was used to separate certain types of reversionists from the nation. Having just reviewed the principles of nationalism, capital punishment is designed and authorized by God to be a deterrent against certain SCA types. The trial and execution of judgment is to be done in an expeditious way in order for it to have its full benefit and impact. Our country has become so liberal, as it has in the last few decades, that somebody can kill somebody today and generally expect to live another 15 years probably on the average, if not the rest of their life in certain states, for their crime before even capital punishment would be carried out. That obviously takes away from its impact. People go, well, capital punishment doesn't keep people from killing people. No, but it greatly helps. It deters those who are otherwise normal and have a normal psyche in life. You're always going to have crazies out there. You're not going to get away from it, see. But the aspect of deterrent obviously is designed to have impact upon society. We have obviously pulled out the eye teeth, if you will, of capital punishment based on our judicial system and its liberalization. So yeah, it doesn't look like it does do much. But it is designed and authorized by God, and the purpose and reasons is there are certain STA types of individuals you do not want to be a part of society. They need to be checked out of here if they can't control their STAs, see, upon a certain degree. Again, Leviticus 20 gives you a listing of certain types that are to come under capital punishment. At the beginning of the chapter, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also say to the sons of Israel, verse 1, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens that sojourn in Israel who gives any of their offspring to Moloch, you live in the land, you're visiting the nation, you're under their laws. But see, you have all this circus stuff goes on in regards to people trying to put themselves above the law. You go to Indonesia, you put graffiti on the wall, you need to expect to get caned. And the bleeding hearts are out there going, well, we need to send them over there. If you're so concerned, go over there and take their place. Oh, I'm not that concerned. Duh. So, not only the citizens, but those who are visiting or traveling in the land, who gives any of his offspring to Moloch. That's human sacrifice. That is a practice of idolatry. Shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. One way to execute capital punishment in the Old Testament was to pick up rocks and beat the crap out of them until they're dead. See? And get enough rocks so you don't even have to worry about burying them. You've got a natural burial ground. I'm in a good mood this morning. You can tell. Verse 3, I also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Moloch so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Serving another god in a most atrocious way. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Moloch so as not to put him to death, if you don't follow the law, you don't promote the law as a nation, then there is culpability that's placed upon the nation corporally in their failure to carry these things out. And if you do not do that, verse 5, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family. And I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the whore after him, by playing the whore after Moloch. Verse 6, as for the persons who turn to mediums and to spiritists, conservative Republicans always like to tout Ronald Reagan and how great a president he was. Hopefully you do your research. You know his wife was into mediums, astrology, looking for the sign. Give me a break. You think you're going to find you a good president in our country in the last days? You really need to go back and do your homework biblically. For those who turn to mediums and to spiritists, to play the whore after them, I also set my face against that person, will cut him off from among his people. He will be excommunicated, if you will. Separated. You shall consecrate. So this is all religious idolatry, basically. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. God did not tolerate religious idolatry for Israel as a nation. But yet the mentality of the church is there's no reason why you can't tolerate it in the church. Now, we're out of that camp. You don't give it an inch. You don't let any of that leaven in. To the degree you're able to protect yourself. Verse 8, and you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Verse 9, if there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, brings evil upon them, if you will. A form of disrespect in regards to one's parents. He shall surely be put to death. Put that in a high school doctrinal portfolio. The attitude now is you just need to let the children do whatever they're going to do. Now, you see this kind of crap on TV in regards to educational systems promoting children, encouraging, and you know, don't tell them not to do something, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it's hard to watch TV without getting PO'd, righteously speaking. That's why I collect movies. So, children who have a disrespect of parents that goes overt and tries to do them harm in some form or fashion would be sent to the chair, so to speak. Then, sexual improprieties. 11, if there is a man who lies with his father's wife, incest, has sex with his mother. He has uncovered his father's nakedness. We dealt with these verses not long ago. Both of them should surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. You don't see a rationalization for age in regards to the guilty parties, not in the Bible. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, verse 12, both of them shall surely be put to death, his son's wife. They have committed incest, their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman. Oh, there's nothing in the Bible about homosexuality, huh? That's what they claim. They must speak a foreign language and can't read English. But I think their Bible is in most foreign languages. Both of them committed a detestable act, homosexuality. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. You pay for your crimes. You're responsible. Verse 14, if there is a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is immorality. Both he and they shall be burned with fire. you want to have a tryst within the family, see. You don't put up with that kind of crap. Not as a society. And they think they're hot for each other. Well, it's showing what hot is, see. That there may be no immorality in your midst. If there is a man who lies with an animal, bestiality, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. Well, that poor animal didn't have anything to do with this. Cursing by association. Verse 16, if there is a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it. I don't know if they're all Mexicans, but they could be. You shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. I said that because that is basically one of the sexual anomalies that is renowned in regards to perverseness of the Mexican culture. Nothing against Mexicans. I guess you can still call them that. I don't know. I'm so confused. I don't know what to call anybody except for sodomites and reversionists or just believers. If there is a man who takes his sister, verse 17, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness, she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace. They shall be cut off. They're separated in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. If there is a man who lies with a mistress woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow. She has exposed the flow of her blood. Thus both of them shall be cut off from among their people. They're declared as unclean. You shall not uncover your nakedness of your mother's sister or your father's sister, for such a one has been naked. For such a one has made naked his blood relative. They shall bear their guilt. There is a man who lies with his uncle's wife. He has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. Well, I wonder how that comes about. Well, God direct divine intervention, etc. If there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is abhorrent. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation which I shall drive out before you. For they did all these things, therefore I have abhorred them, and that's why they're getting kicked out. My own words, sick, as you would put it in the little italics there. E, they were prohibited from marrying negative volition. Ezra 10:11. Now, therefore, make confession to the Lord God of your fathers. That's a national repentance, national rebound as a nation. And do His will. Rebound in and of itself deals with your previous immediate sin in a life. But it does not effectively keep you in fellowship. You got to then do His will. See, you got to start doing what is right according to doctrine. and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the foreign wives. And again, that is not racial. It's not racially motivated. It's spiritually motivated. See. To not form a union with those who are otherwise negative, religious idolaters, reversionists, otherwise. F, ultimately, failure to separate led to expulsion, separation from the land of promise under the fifth cycle of discipline as it would be categorized. Leviticus again 20:22-23, Leviticus 26:27-30. Yet in spite of this, with all the warnings against rejecting and dismissing God's Bible doctrine, God's plan for them as a nation, yet in spite of this, if you do not obey me but act with hostility against me, they continue to pursue the rejection of the doctrine, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And I, even I, will punish you seven times for your sins. The degree of punishment raises the more and longer people maintain their reversionism in this regard. It may seem on the surface for a while that they're getting away with it. Nothing bad is happening to them. But understand, God is keeping accurate account and record. And all people are doing is building up ultimate judgment and discipline from God based on the degree of their sin. Therefore, you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and flesh of your daughters you shall eat. That's quite a judgment. As they might be put under siege by a hostile nation, nothing to eat, and they turn to cannibalism. Yeah, so much for family there, huh? Sorry, I'm twisted. Everybody puts so much emphasis on family. Well, you get in this situation, your family's going to look mighty good to you, that's for sure. I'm hungry. See. Verse 30, I will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul shall abhor you. Then the Deuteronomy 28 chapter again. There, finishing up the chapter, we left it just a little short and was reading it the other evening. Particularly verses 63-68, which deals then after the warnings and all the catastrophe, judgment, discipline, national discipline God will bring on their heads if they don't again come to repentance, change their ways, then ultimately they will be kicked out of the land. Verses 63-68, and it shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you. And you shall be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Be forcibly removed. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples. The national dispersion, in effect, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. Be put into societies. You want to play false religion with me as a nation? Well, I'll put you in the societies. Well, that's their MO. And you'll essentially be forced, if you want to fit into society and not be ostracized yourself, etc., etc. Among those nations, verse 65, you shall find no rest. This is the way it's been with Jewish history since they've been kicked out of the land since 70 AD. Go to one area for a while, everything's fine. It seems like they prosper. And then anti-Semitism crops up, etc., etc. For the sole of your foot, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and a despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and shall be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, would that it were evening, and in the evening you shall say, would that it were morning, because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. The Lord shall bring you back to Egypt in ships, by the way about which I spoke to you. You shall never see it again. There you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. Be looked upon and despised as the lowest of human beings, the littlest of value among the human race. Then 29:22-28. Now the generations come, your sons who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a distant land, when they see the plague of the land, the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it, will say, all this land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive. And no grass grows in it, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, a couple more places, not usually mentioned, that met God's wrath environmentally, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath. And all the nations will say, why has the Lord done this to this land? Why this great outburst of anger? Mark Twain, also known as Clemens, visited the Holy Land. He said it was the most God-forsaken environment and place he'd ever seen, and ever even heard of. When they're out of the land, that's what happens to it. Now that they're back in the land, these things have changed drastically. Then men shall say, verse 25, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, we just said that. Another little piece of humor there. And they went and served other gods, verse 26, and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known and whom He had allotted to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord burned against that land to bring upon it every curse which is written in this book. The Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and in fury and in great wrath, and cast them to another land, as it is to this day. Chapter 31, verses 15-22. The Lord appeared in a tent, in a pillar of cloud, in theophany, manifested Himself in a physical way. And the pillar of cloud stood at the doorway of the tent. The Lord said to Moses, behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. The end of your ministry is near, and life itself. And this people... This is great news for their pastor, their shepherd. Moses, all this effort, these 40 years you've been put in for these people and their spiritual matriculation, look how it's paid off. Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land, into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. course, that wasn't surprising. Obviously, you have the exceptions, but it's generally the exceptions, like the conquest. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them. And they will be consumed, and many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so that they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. You want to look to alternatives in regards to Bible doctrine? The directives, under his directive will, geographical will. Well, understand one thing. When you need God, don't be surprised when he doesn't answer. Hide my face, hide my presence. See? You diss God, you reject God, well. Like a child that is disobedient, obnoxiously disrespectful to the parents, and acts that way, and then he turns around and wants something. Yeah, right. I will forsake them and hide my face from them, verse 17, and they shall be consumed, and many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so they will say in that day, is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us? I will surely hide my face in that day because of all evil which they will do, for they will turn to other gods. Now therefore, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it on their lips in order that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For when I bring them to the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, verse 20, and they have eaten and are satisfied, become prosperous, God does bless them with good things, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. Often that is how people are. When adversity is there, a lot of times that's the easiest time really to turn to God. But when things are going fine otherwise in one's life, one becomes prosperous, then they become cavalier. And next thing you know, they are out with all the other distractions of the cosmos, forsaking God and his plan otherwise, embracing the energy of the flesh, principles, and ideologies of the cosmos. Verse 21, it shall come about when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that the song will testify before them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants, because it's recorded in Scripture. For I know their intent, which they are developing today, before I brought them into the land which I swore. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Then chapter 32 is the song of Moses, a song that proclaims the future disobedience of Israel, put there as a warning to them that God knows through his omniscience the future of people otherwise, and in spite of all the warning he gives, negative volition will still be negative. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Chapter 32, verse 1, verse 2. Let my teaching drop as a rain. My speech is still as a dew, as a droplet of the fresh grass, and as the showers of the herb. Let communication of Bible doctrine flow as one would expect to produce the best type of environment, grass, herbs, agriculture, things of this nature. Spiritual flourishment. For I proclaim the name of our Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. Proclaiming and keeping in front of you at all times the sovereign God, the creator of the universe. Giving him the credit and recognizing his hand in all things, no matter what we may do in regards to our own human efforts. Apart from his direct intervention, we would be nothing. we would not have any success. See? He is our protector. He is the rock. Verse 4, His work is perfect. God doesn't make mistakes. Everything that God does is designed to do and enforce the doctrine of separation as it delineates between negative and positive volition, blessing and cursing, as it revolves around all these things. See? He makes no mistakes. His work is perfect. No matter what men may say or how they may view circumstances, situations otherwise. God is without error. When He says this is the way it's supposed to be, you follow it and I'll bless you, or else you can hang it out to dry. You can take His word to the bank. See? Verse 4, for all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. He is completely and totally fair. He is impartial. And He is completely and totally dependable. The problem is, people operate under a certain aspect of fear. And they will not faith rest God in regards to their lives, their situations, circumstances often. See? God will test you in these areas, and people often will depart from their spiritual priorities because somehow they don't think God can bless them otherwise. They're not willing to endure whatever cross they must bear in regards to their own Christian life in order to remain committed to NPR and the truth of Bible doctrine in their lives. And we're talking about people that truly want to be prize contenders, who want to make a maturity adjustment, prevail and hold to the end. It can't be half-assed. And that's no jackass. See? It is commitment. It always has been. This pulpit has never changed its tune in this respect. And I will continue to proclaim and exhort in this fashion, as long as God is willing to keep this local church alive as a lampstand. See? Unfortunately, in the last days, there is every kind of distraction, etc., almost known to man to keep them away from the truth of doctrine. But God is always faithful, and He's without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. Under absolute righteousness. He is plus R. They have acted corruptly towards Him. They have leavened the representation of His essence. See? To corrupt something. They have inserted their own human viewpoint, STA virus, into His plan. They are not His children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord of all the good things that He's done, brought you to the point that you're at, and now all of a sudden you forsake Him? See, like the Judas Iscariot of time. O foolish and unwise people, is not He your Father who has brought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your Father, and He will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you in regards to their past history, how God richly provided grace and all the necessary items necessary for them to be in the land and be a nation. See, it was nothing that they did. All they did was apply doctrine. All they did was be positive, certain individuals, etc., along the way. To forget God. Now, you forget God, I guarantee you, not that He ever forgets anything, but it will seem like it. Verse 8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of man, He set the boundaries of the peoples, according to numbers of the sons of Israel. Looking back at the Tower of Babel, that incident, see. For the Lord's portion is people, is his people, Jacob, is the allotment of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as a pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over his young. He spread his wings and caught them. He carried them on his pinions. Wow. God's doing all this stuff behind the scenes, not seen to the naked eye of men. The Lord alone guided him, and there were no foreign God with him. There is what qualified that type of protection over his life. Because he was committed to God. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field, verse 13. And he made him suck honey from the rock, and bill from the flinty rock, herds of cows and milk of the flock, with fats of lamb and rams that breed in Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat and the blood of grapes you drank wine. And Jacob wasn't perfect. He had an STA. But he was positive. He wanted a relationship with God with complete commitment and determination in regards to his life. And we'll take a break from this song, and I'll sing the rest of it for you, second session.